God morgen og velkommen til de tappere som har beveget seg gjennom storm og vind og blest og regn. Det var ikke verst at det kom noen i det hele tatt i dag faktisk. Er det ikke lyd på høytalen i det hele tatt? Og det er slags lyd der, er det ikke? Er det ikke? Skal vi se.
God morgen. Da mikken også på. Jeg har skjønt at det stream her, så derfor må jeg ha mikrofon. Skal vi se. Da har alle dere utfordret naturen I dag, og ja, vi kommer for så vidt å gå over på engelsk også. Det mange som engelskspråklige nå I dag? Yes, all right. Yes, no worries at all. I would be talking in English anyway. So, god morgen. Good morning. Right. So today's topic is practical user testing. This lecture today will be halfway lecture, and I will actually send you guys out to do some user testing yourselves this morning. I saw some face there, but it is a good experience, so bear with me with that. The only issue that might be at hand is because this lecture is so early in the morning, I hope there will be somebody to test it on campus. So we'll have a look at that. If we can't find any, what can I say, test subjects in the cantina or in the areas where people generally would roam, then I guess the next best thing is that we will have to test on each other. We won't get the same amount of actual feedback that we really would like. So that is unfortunate because what we'll be testing is NTNU, every year we need new students. We need to recruit. And there is a system on the part of the NTNU website where you can actually go and read about the courses that is possible to take here. On these pages, there are quite a bit of information. It is a search system to actually find the courses that is available. But we have found through the last couple of years that it is not as easy to find the necessary information as we would like. And the only way of actually finding out where the problems are is to test. So that is what I want you to do this today, but we'll talk about that soon. So, in Norway, we have this Work Environment Act, and in Norway, this is a law that says something about how a company or a people with workers have to what they have to overcome or what they have to do for their workers. And in Norway, we've got this Arbeidsmiljøloven, it's the Work Environment Act, and paragraph 4.2 says the following. Okay, this is in Norwegian, I will translate. It is demands for, putting things in... tilrettelegging. Anyone have a good translation for tilrettelegging? At least it's about making sure... Okay, tilrettelegging is putting place in order for the workers, yeah. This is early in the morning. Putting things in order for the workers, at least it's about making sure that the workers are being taken care of or taken in consideration when you are choosing tools amongst others. So I'll read through this in English, Norwegian first, and then we'll see how my translation goes this morning. So the workers, okay, I'll just actually go through it in Norwegian, in English. The workers and their representatives should be kept informed about systems in use through the planning and the actual execution of the work. So this was the first yellow part. They are also to be given necessary training to use these systems. And the most important part is the last one here. And they should actually be involved in the forming or the development of them. And this last part, you could actually say that this demands that there is a user-centered approach in the development of such tools. So this is a good part of the Norwegian Work Environment Act that actually demands user involvement in the process. Hello? Yeah. So let's talk a bit about usability again. Because when we are developing new systems, we don't really want, nobody really wants to make a poor system, do they? But there are quite a number of different ways that we can end up with a system with a less than optimal bit of usability. So it might be that in the development, the system, system thinking, a system approach might be at the base of the development instead of a user-centered approach where you actually are talking to users, know what the users want and need. It might be that we are instead taking care of, starting with the frameworks we are using, haven't had my first coffee yet. Sorry. We are not taking a user-centered approach. We are actually just using the technologies as a base and trying, of course, to make the most of them. But then again, we might not be able to actually create a system that is solving the users' problems. Or we might create a system where we are making some assumptions about the technical abilities of the users. So we're creating some system that we as developers and designers do understand, but that the users might be using technical lingo that is totally over the heads of the users. And we need to also be quite aware of the fact that creating a usable system is actually quite hard. Also, as I said, one thing is considering how the system is built, how things are connected, how hierarchies are built inside the system. Another thing is about the communication with the user. So if we try to communicate, and are you using maybe different lingo, and we are not aware of, say, words being used inside of a certain domain, a work domain, that be, say, doctors or medical personnel, they might be using totally different words for things that we, as technical developers and the designers, might use other words for again. So if we are not making sure that we are on the same page as to which words are being used, and we need to, again, we are creating systems for these guys. So if we are using our words to explain concepts that have different approaches in the medical space, for example, we are ending up in a situation where the system is unnecessarily hard to use. And it might be that we have done a thorough start of the project where we have made a system which is well thought through, solves the correct problems, we are taking the users into consideration, and then we are going to execute the project. And then for some reason there might be technical problems, say we are limited to using a particular framework or some particular hardware that are making it so that we cannot actually create the system, or this is the system we wanted to create, but the parts we have are different, and therefore we are ending up with a system again that is suboptimal, that is not the best, given the best user experience. It might be time limiting factors, it might be technical factors, or frameworks that are making us creating a suboptimal system. So, my message here is that we need to use a test to be aware of such things. And when we are trying to use a test in a company, it might be that we are meeting some pushback. And this might be due to some preconceptions. For example, there might be lack of knowledge about user testing in the company. And everything we don't know anything about is scary. So I would say that it's up to you guys to be to try to push to get user testing into the plans. When you're starting to create a new product, you need voice it, hey, shouldn't we maybe test this sometime in during the plan? Particularly if you see that the plan is put through and there is no user testing in that plan at all. Or there might be companies that do things the way they do. They've done it for several years, never user tested, and people have still bought their products. Well, they could probably have done better. Is my message here. And there might be a preconception that user testing is expensive. This is not true. Running a set of tests on a small number of tests users doesn't necessarily take more than half a day with two or three people. So it's, of course, there's some cost associated with this. And again, it is worth it. So these three points is points that I would say are not arguments for not user testing. But there is one last point there, and that is if we haven't planned the user testing into the process, and somebody comes up with an idea, hey, we should maybe test this in the end of the project where there isn't really any time left for the ship date. Well, this is the one point we actually have to listen to. Because if there isn't any time to actually make changes of the errors or flaws we find, well, why spend the time anyway? And the only thing we would actually find is we would know a bit about the fact that, okay, there is might be some really serious errors there or small errors or flaws. So if we find ourselves in this situation, we at least need to make sure that that won't be the case for the next time we are planning a project. Yes. So I want to highlight the book. This is in unfortunately in Norwegian. It is in, we got it in the library and also in the bookstore. It is Practical User Testing by Eli Tofte Andersen and Jan Gunnar Wold. They are Norwegian writers or user experts, user test experts. And I've lifted from them from this book some user test commandments. I think are nice. So there are 9 of these commandments. So the first one is: do not run a user test without practice. Okay. So you shouldn't start in a professional context to use tests without having any prior knowledge of this. This is one of the reasons I want you to do a small user test this morning. The test needs to be planned thoroughly, so we need to know what to test, we need to know who to test it on, and we need to know what we are testing, because we can't test a full-scale production system. We need to test some small part of it to find the small errors in this. We need to respect the users, particularly if we are working in a if we are working with a big brand piece of software, say, and we are hired to help them do the development, or and might be doing the user testing as well. Well, we are actually then representing that company. So we need to put our best image forth and make sure that we are, for once, not hurting the brand, but also to be aware of that when people are actually taking the time to help us make the software or the thing we want to test better, well, the least thing we can do is to at least be, positive and respectful, even though we might have it might be early in the morning, well, we should make the best of it. And always there is a chance of things going the wrong way. So if we've again taken the time to plan a user test and set aside a time, maybe we have we wanted to do the test in a controlled environment, then we, in case of errors, it might be a backend breaking down, because again we are testing not finished for software maybe, or we are testing a prototype. We need to consider the fact that okay, things might not work, and we need to have a backup plan. And actually, this might be having a maybe just a small questionnaire, so that we actually can get some feedback from the users we are involving here. Or they might be having a maybe a paper-based prototype or a small, locally contained prototype on a mobile phone or such. At least have some plan how to spend the time if something breaks down. And it's also always it's a good thing having spending time with people who have been doing user testing before. One thing is getting guidance on actually doing this, but if you get a chance, I would recommend that you get involved in user testing run by others, so that you might experience a more full-scale user tests without running it yourself. Again, it's about this thing that running user tests, there are might be popping problems up, and knowing how to cope with those, only experience can help you with that. Prior to a user test, it's necessary to get some equipment needed to run the test. This might be something as such as a room to contain the test in. You might need a computer. Should you use your own computer or should the company give you one to run the test? Do you need a mobile phone? If you are testing a payment solution, would you subject the test this test subject to actually pay you through to be able to walk through a payment procedure? Or might it be an idea to have a company credit card to use for that, so that you could borrow it to test the input of credit card data, for example? And also, if we are running larger scale tests where we are actually getting people to come to our facilities to do the tests, they should probably get some sort of reward. This might not be something really big, but it might be a small gift card or chocolate. People are generally quite happy when they get chocolate. So this is again about the respecting the users. They are spending time, they should probably get something out of it. So there need to be a small budget for this. And a small test is better than no test. Again, we want to be able to spot the really serious errors. And these might be flaws that are might be systemic, but they might, as I said, also be such things as the use of language in the solution or the written parts. It might not be, even though, and this is the one of the most important parts, that is, as developers, we know the system, but we are. It's really hard to put ourselves into the heads of the users to experience the system as them. It's nearly impossible. I've said that we can use personas and scenarios to do that part way, but it won't be as good as user test. And if we've been involved in the development of a particular system, or we might actually be the one behind a radical new concept that we think is really good, it is actually quite hurtful to experience that people don't manage to use it. So when we are committing or running user tests on systems that we are ourselves involved in, it might be easy to try to explain to the user, hey, but you were supposed to do it this way, but you are doing it all wrong. And it, when they aren't making it, managing to use this solution, it's, as I said, it's hurtful, and we might try to defend our solution. We shouldn't do that at all, okay? We are doing the tests to be aware of problems that the users are experiencing. So putting our pride behind us is important. Just notify objectively, okay, they couldn't use the new solution. We need to reconsider that. This is the reason we really want. The parts where the users are not able to use our solution, these are the ones, the bits we need to be aware of. Because, again, we are trying to make a better system here. And again, as proponents of user testing, it is your job when you are planning a development cycle of a product. It's your work, your job to actually say, hey, we need to do some user testing through this development. And you should probably not wait till the last bit to just say, okay, we need to test it just before we ship, because then we end up in the situation where we are don't have time to actually make the changes. So test often, test early, and we will be talking about prototypes in a later lecture. But making prototypes is a good way of testing before we are actually shipping something. So before we start doing tests, we need a test plan. And in this test plan, we have some points and some different roles that I want to go through. First, we need to know why we test. So we need to have a specific goal. Oh, by the way, I had planned to upload this lecture into Blackboard before this lecture, so sorry I haven't done that, but I will upload it just after the lecture. So, for example, in this case here, we are testing, think of a website. There is some necessary information in a part of this website. And we are experiencing that the call center are getting a ridiculous number of calls about a certain bit of information that is available on the website. So this might be a problem that we might try to find out. Okay, why are the call center getting all these calls? This information is available, and it's actually costing us quite a lot because all the calls that they're getting. They're spending time answering this question that the information is already out there and we should expect the users being able to find that themselves. So we need to know why these users are not finding this information on the website, because obviously they aren't. They are actually spending time calling. So this might be a reason. So now we are actually knowing which part of the site we need to test. We are, or at least we know which part of the page or which part of the website the users can't find for some reason. Or another reason might be that we have done a big change to our website, and we want to know how this, if this was better than the prior solution, or if that there are some problems with a new one. So there might again be a new navigational concept, for example, that we have recreated the menu system, or again made it maybe a big new navigation widget of some sort. And again, we need to test, does this work? Okay. We've probably done the technical tests to know that mobile devices and different technologies support this technology. We presuppose that. But again, do the users understand this new solution? And again, we need to be wary that the answer might be no, so that we actually can reconceptualize again, maybe go back to another solution. So, how many tasks? When we are trying to test, we need to make a number. What I'm going to talk about now, we are talking then about a user test where we have scheduled times, appropriate time slots for a number of users. So we are getting them to get to our test facility. So we have a controlled environment where we might have started by a computer, or we've made available a mobile phone, for example, if we are testing a mobile site or a mobile application. And we have made time slots, so we have actually made appointments with users to come to our facility, test, get some chocolate or a small gift of some sort. And we've got them lined up. So that means we have a set time for each of these users. And we don't want this to take too long time. So again, we need to value the time of our users. So maybe then 8 to 10 tasks in a prioritized order might be a good starting point. Because, and the prioritization here is important because some of the tasks might be taking longer time than we expect. And at least we need to make sure that we are getting tested the most important parts. And we need to make sure that we are testing, correct goals. And if we've created a new button, say, we need to make sure that we are not trying just to find if the users see the button, okay? There need to be some actually information they are trying to find. And the button might be a way of getting there, but we are not trying to find if the user see the button themselves. In a case like this, it might be hard to get reliable data. So we have an approach called A-B testing, where we can find information about small tweaks we do. So we test two different approaches. We've got two, in case the same site, but only small tweaks. And we test that on a huge number of users. Then we can start seeing some trends. If wording or the color of a button or size of a button actually has some impact on the throughput through the site. So, when doing the test, we need to set up a schedule. Again, we have are planning this. And it is really important to actually include breaks for yourselves in a test in a test plan like this. If you just imagine that, okay, there will be probably be some time slots available for a quick cup of coffee or catching the breath, even though we've scheduled the appointees really close to each other. Well, there won't be any breaks then. I can take that. I can tell you that. So you will be needing to have a lunch break, and doing user testing, talking to new people all the time is really demanding. It's hard. So clearing the head, having a cup of coffee or a glass of water, and when we're doing user tests, we are also writing notes about what is going wrong or how things are working out. And we are probably then writing this in short form, so we need to be able to, maybe rewrite, maybe get the important bits of information out of these notes. That takes time, so we need to have some spots with, we need to have set aside time to do that. In a test like this, there are different roles. And one is that it needs to be a test leader. This is the person doing the talking, greeting and welcoming the test person, and running the test, that is, having the verbal communication and talking to the tester. Then we have some observers. One is the main observer, primarily not talking at all, just being present and observing, making notes where of what is not working or what is working maybe particularly well. But the most important part is that we are wanting to find what is not working. The main observer will follow all the tests. That is, so getting the big picture and seeing, okay, if there is something that consistently fails, well, then that is something we need maybe to do some reconsidering of. And then we got secondary observers. And they're also noting, but this we can have they might not be following all the tests, and we might have different observers on different tests. And we might actually then also include maybe leaders or others to just be present and see how this is going. When we're running this test, we need in front of the test to have defined the tasks, and we are defining the task for the test leader and for the test user, so that we have actually written down what should be tested and what we are looking for, and giving the users a certain task to complete. So the observers and the test leader are informed about what we are trying to find here or what we are testing. And we have the task definitions for the users themselves, which might be small handouts that we are giving to the users when they get there, maybe in addition to a verbal run-through of what we are trying to accomplish here. So for the test leaders, we need to know, or for test users, yeah, the task description itself. For the testers, we need the starting point. Okay, are they going to be using a computer? Are they using a mobile phone? The mobile phone, should it be just in a in the OS, or should we start in an application or in on a certain website maybe? And we need to know, of course, what we expect the users to be able to find. How do we know that the users have completed the task? Because when they've completed the task, we can go on to the next problem. And if we've done some redesign or reconceptualization of some part of the solution that we really want to test, well, we are need to make sure that the observers and the test leader actually know which part we've where we are particularly looking for user problems or use problems at. And this might be that this might be are the users using a navigational system like a drop-down menu for navigating to a place, or are they using shortcuts or other ways of finding the information that we tell them to find? When we are particularly, in some cases, we might actually also be filming or recording the testers in some test users in some way. When we are doing this, it's particularly important to have a consent and confidentiality declaration, so that we are clearly stating what the goal of our test is, and what and that the information that the test users are submitting will be handled anonymously. And of course, then we also need to contain that information anonymously. Oh, sorry. Well, we have an example in Blackboard, not front of Piazza. So, I've got a test plan that we have with some information in Google Doc. We'll have a look at that now. This test plan is original from NetLife Research. I've got the okay to be using that in this course. From Ida Olen. Let's see here. So let's have a look at this. Okay, so in this apologies for this is in this is in Norwegian. I haven't translated the whole thing of this, but we have got a some tabs through this in this test plan. One is husky list, or we can say a schedule, things to remember. And in this Google Doc, there is my cursor, we can actually now change this date up in the top here, and then it will accordingly change the dates down through this form. So things we need to remember is book an observation room if that is necessary. This we need to be done at least 4 weeks before the test, for example. Book a test room. If we are going to recruit some users, we are then generally using recruiting firms that got hands on users that might be able to willing to do some tests with us. So, but then we need some recruiting criteria. Are these users to be from a certain domain, or are there any things we need of these users in addition to them being people wanting to do the test? 3 weeks for sending the plan of the test to the recruiting bureau again. Test to sending the recruiting criteria and the schedule to the working group that are to be running this test. Informing the observers that are to be able to attend this test. Again, if people haven't got this in their work plan, they won't be able to attend, probably. 1 week for we are sending the test questions, the things that we want to be tested to the testers, that is the test leader and the observers. If we want some sort of reward, we need to make sure we've got that. Some days before the test, we need to make sure that there are maybe some lunch for the observers. Again, these are people that we might have recruited from other parts of the company. They're spending time with us to make sure that we are making this, so we should, again, maybe handle those in a good way as well. The day before, testing technical equipment. If you've got a computer that we need to use for the test, we need to make sure that it's actually working. If you don't do that, I can promise you that it probably won't work at all. And if we are having a prototype that we need to test, we need to make sure that that is working and making sure that it is set up correctly on the computer that is we are using for the test. We might want to remind the test users that there is a test in the coming day via SMS or similar. And the same morning we are starting the test, we always need to make sure that the test room is as we left it the day before, because people exist, and for some reason there might be, if you have got a group room, for example, or a meeting room, well, there might have been people in that room since we left it. So we need to make sure again that it's okay. This is, we need to make sure that all forms or bits of paper that we need to have with us are actually printed. So it might be the consent and confidentiality form. It might be the handouts for the test subjects or the test users. If we need some sort of signature to confirm that we have actually handed out gift cards, we might need to print those and print all test details. And after the test, we need to actually set up some time for doing a debrief and actually doing something with the test results we've got. Again, doing a test without putting aside time for actually making changes or taking care of the information we've got is not good. So, so it's just a small, we can say, example of a test. Google and Zoom doesn't work very well. Let's see, I can do like this. I'm struggling. Okay. Something like this. Right. So at least we've got some, this is some time slots. And again, we've made sure that, okay, Google Doc is not playing very well with this browser today. Okay. So we've got time slots. We've got the test persons here. We've got our small breaks in between. And it might be a good idea now to overlap these tests a bit, so that when we are testing person one, we're making sure that testing person number two is arriving a bit early, because always there is somebody that for some reason can't show. It might be a traffic accident, it might be general forgetfulness, something might happen. And then, so we don't have to skip test person number two. If test person number three is a bit early and just have to wait a bit, we might be able to facilitate that. And again, the breaks, really important. They are, I cannot underline enough how important it is to actually plan for the breaks. Right. And then we've got the test itself. So in this Google Doc, we've got first, like a general, just welcoming text that we are maybe reading, maybe have rehearsed, that we are making clear what the test is for and what we are trying to find, making sure that we are testing the system and not the users. That's really important. And also, when we are doing tests like this, it is also important to make the test user aware of that thinking aloud is a good thing. So when we are thinking aloud, we are trying to say what we are trying to do whilst we are doing things. So if I'm trying to run a test on my mobile phone, I might be pushing a button, but I'm trying to say why I'm pushing that button. I mean, we probably need to help the users doing that. So we'll be going through some questions where we are doing that. And then we've got a starting point, as I said, for each of these tests. In this case, we have got some questions here. So at this in this test, we are starting. So this is I've got the English translation of this test as well. But this is the... I think I've actually got it here, by the way. So, no. Okay. So we start with the new website on a mobile phone, and the question we might be asking this test user. This is one of the questions. Okay. So you've got a bachelor's degree in language sciences and wants to take a master. Or a postgraduate master in language at NTNU. Which languages is it possible to study at a master level at NTNU in Gjøvik? So this is one of the questions. Again, I will change this to the English question because I got them. Yeah. And in this case, the important bit for us here now is. What we want to test here is if the users are able to use the filtering options in the study selector to find that it's actually possible to study English, French, Nordic, and German at NTNU on a master's level. So it's quite a narrow thing we're testing here now. It's only this thing we want to find in this particular test. And with the second test here, and this one is one which we are aware of. There are severe problems with. As a nurse in Gjøvik, with a bachelor's degree, you've got a go-ahead to start a part-time continuing education. Which continuing education options is present for you as a nurse at NTNU in Gjøvik? So in this case, we've got somebody that is in our nurse with a bachelor's degree at the starting point, and we need to find out if they are able to find the continuing education options possible. And in Gjøvik, there are actually four of these: anesthetics, intensive, operation or, there are four different ones of this. These are the ones. Paramedic, dialogic practice, paramedic, pre-hospital, and So there are four different options. And if they find one, we'll find all, probably. But we might actually do a quick run-through. Do I have a volunteer? I want one volunteer, preferably in Norwegian. We've got a volunteer. Good. So I will be setting now up my phone here for you. Okay, and I want you to test this case in particular. So let's see here now if I can get this to work. Just give me a quick moment. NTNU. So I'm setting up my mobile phone for the starting point now. Right. So, and then we got this one. So. No? It actually switched just as I unplugged it again. Just give it some time. Okay, right. So we are now containing a small user test for ntnu.no because we are aware that there might be some problems with our website. And I'm very gracious that you are actually now spending some time with me, with us helping us test this. But why am I not getting the signal here? Wait, I might try to do something like this. Technical, did I say something about it's important to test before? Actually, doing a test like this? Probably should have. But I actually tested this just the other day, and then it worked nicely. Yeah, so mute projector, start projector. Just switching the inputs to make sure that the... Okay, we might have a problem here. Nei, det ikke det. So this should be working nicely. Let's. I just want to go out of my. Okay. I got a backup plan. Ah, there we go. That is the secret keyword. Backup plan. Then it works. Right. Again. So, I want you to run. We will be running through this test, and I will probably be asking you some questions as we go along. It is not the point to do this as quickly as possible. Okay. I just want you to try to find information that we are trying to find. And again, it is we are trying to find the problems with this website. We know there are many, and we want to be just be aware of them. So if there is anything you don't get in this test, or if there is anything that's unclear, please just ask me. In addition, it's fine. It's nice if you can try to think aloud at this. If there is something you are thinking whilst you're doing something, it's nice if you just say it aloud. Okay. So the test case here is that you are a nurse here in Gjøvik. Okay, you've got a bachelor's degree, and you are working on the Gjøvik Hospital, and you have got to go ahead to do some continuing education, videreutdanning. You want to find out which continuing education options is available here in Gjøvik. Okay? So, please, you need to find out hvilke videreutdanningstilbud som finnes her I Gjøvik som right.
I'm a nurse. So, I guess I click the button that just
like this. Hello. Can you guys hear me? Okay, I'm guessing I'm looking for a studio to look for a master degree in nursing. So I guess choose your studio. Okay. And I'm looking for a master's degree. I got some filter options.
So videreutdanning, not the master's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's master program, or. I'm just reading all this. Medical, health, and social. Small buttons.
Mm. So small buttons. The observer might note. Might be difficult to hit the correct one.
And yeah, I'm here in Gjøvik.
So noting that there are being used some filtering options here.
See, and pretending to be a nurse and being a nurse is something different. So right. It's like I'm not actually sure what I'm looking for here.
Yeah.
So I see bachelor. Tverrfag. As a nurse, I'm looking for further studies, right?
Yes.
Okay. What would this nurse be looking for? Is it within operations?
There might be, that's one option, yes.
Okay, clicking that. I want to know how to operate on sick people.
Well, thank you. Right. So, since the last test, time I conducted it. Tusen takk. I would have given you some chocolate, but I haven't got any. Sorry. Visualize a bit of chocolate. Right. So, actually, now they've done they've actually fixed this site a bit, I would say. So, one thing was using these filter options. We saw that there was the first time it tried to press. Medicine, Helse og Sosialfag over here. He pressed Mediefag and Communication. Okay, so this is a problem due to the fact that these are quite small buttons. It's actually quite hard to be precise. So that is not a serious error at all. It's just a small thing. He managed to get out of that problem quite quickly. And then after having narrowed down to Gjøvik, we can actually see that there are anesthetic nurse, vidareutdanning lavere grad, in the top there. There are intensive sykepleier, which is also vidareutdanning. These kinds of education, the continuing education, education went actually in this list the last time we conducted this test. And we found that that was a problem. So actually NTNU has managed to now to fix that. So what I expected, or what they've also done is that they've actually made a top option here. You probably didn't see that one, which is precisely what you were looking for before starting for doing the filtering. So probably this was the only way of finding this information. Oh, there we go. Enter new. This page is not useful anymore. All right, interesting. Right, so probably we couldn't actually use this Velget Studium button at all. We had to go to the drop-down menu. We have to go to Studies, I think. And then I think there was, there we got another page, Videreutdanning og Deltid. But it might actually seem that they have actually now put this information into the regular part of the web page, which is actually useful. And that's actually a consequence of having run user tests on campus here, in this course and another course last year. Brilliant. Okay. So that might not be necessary to do that test really anymore. Okay. Right. So, but again, this was even though it's a bit more stressful sitting in a room full of people doing tests like this, knowing that everybody's watching, it is still a bit of the same experience when you are standing there talking to a person and there are two people hanging over your neck watching you do stuff. And you feel that you should be able to do this, and it might be hard to do it, and it might be a bit of a stressful experience. There are also some... I mentioned this talk aloud approach, where we are telling the test user to actually think about what is doing as he's doing it, and there are some research showing that when you are doing that, you are being more self-conscious, and you might actually be reading everything more thoroughly than you would otherwise. So there are some potential negative consequences of doing that. So, about the execution of the test, okay? So we meet the user and tell them what's about to happen. Again, it's about informing just of the general what we are trying to test here, making sure that they are aware that we are not testing them, we are testing the solution. That is, if it's an app or a website. We need to actually have thought about this text and written it before, so that we can more or less read it, or at least use some keywords to make sure we get through all the points that's important. And then it's about using teaching the user to think aloud. And now, this test user was doing that mostly by himself, so that was good. But we can help. If we see that the test user is just looking at the phone, scrolling back and front, back and up, without us knowing what's happening, we can just ask them, what is it that you're looking for now? Just to make sure that we're kind of following. Why is he scrolling now? There might be an option that they should be pressing. It's in the middle of the screen. And he might just scroll past it, scroll several times. And then again, that might be again something like the, let's say, the vocabulary. We might have used a word in the button that is not the word that the user is looking for. And then by getting them to say what they're looking for, we get the knowledge about what is the word they're looking for. And why can't they see the button we put up there? Or if somebody presses a button that they really shouldn't be pressing, and we cannot see any reason for them pushing it, we can ask them, what did you expect to happen when you click that button? Because again, then we might try to follow their chain of thoughts to see why did they press console when OK was the correct button, or if there was something else. Or tell us what you're trying to achieve now. If they're gone several steps down in a wrong direction through a solution, we might try to find, okay, why are they actually doing this? Because people do strange things, and we need to know why they do it. Or if they press a button that we didn't expect them to, and we got into another page, part of the page or solution, we can try to see, okay, what happened now? To see if they understood what happened was actually a result of what they did, and again, it's about understanding what they're trying to achieve and how they're thinking. So again, we are not testing the user; we are testing the solution. It's important that we are aware of that. It's important that the user is aware of that. This will alleviate some of the stress that they will feel through a test like this. And as testers, we need to remain objective. Again, as I said before, if we've coded this solution or designed this solution ourselves, it is so easy we are being hurt when they are not managing to use this system. We need this system. We think the system is good. They show us that it's not good, and that is hurting our soul. Yeah, it's hurtful. So be objective. Don't let that shine through. We should generally have a observer form. That's a form that where we can note what each one user is doing. Again, these are anonymous, so we can have test person 1, test person 2, test person 3, no names. No names, I say. Yeah. At least we need to make sure that we have some way of referring to them. And here we write down also the key usability problems. So we try to not write down information that is not important. So it is. So in this example, when we did the small user test in Frontier, we had the problem with the small touch targets, so that there was actually an error press. This is something we might actually note, because just by making the button or the touch target a bit larger, we might make it easier to use. But that was not a big error, but it was a small one. or other notes observation. We might find things that we don't expect to find through a test like this. And then we are not wanting to find what the user necessarily thinks of the solution, but we are trying to find out how they're using it or how they expect it to work. Or we might actually have a printout of all the different screens that we know that the user will be going through, so that we can actually annotate directly on that, mark around things that might be pressed, or in the example with the small buttons, I just might note small, larger. So we can actually draw just to quickly point out where the problems are. So, as I said, we generally take small notes when we are doing this. So the now I was test leader and I didn't really note anything other than in here. But if there was an observer, we'd probably make some quick notes as we were conducting the tests. And in the breaks, we can also make sure that we write out a bit more just to make sure that we remember after the test what was really happening. There is a problem that if we just write a short note and think that we will remember what this was all about after the test, when we've run the test with 10 more persons, well, we will not. So we need to make sure that we understand our own the notes. And we need to analyze. And this is about making sure that we are containing all the information we've got in a structured way, that we can find out, okay, of all these users, only 5 of the 10 ones, 10 we tested with, were able to find the answer to question number 2, for example. And we might also do some screenshots from the particular places where we had particular problems. So all these are ways of making sure that we manage the data we found. Because this data, we probably should use it to present it to the product lead or to others who need to be aware of this. Because, again, the reason we are testing is because we actually need to make changes. We will have a break shortly. Right. So the results, we can walk through them. The test results with a colleague or, as I said, a product lead or some other stakeholders. Some we need to walk through the test results with somebody that is able to make sure we can do some changes there. And also, we need to make some recommendations. Again, okay, we should probably have a bit small, larger targets. And as from last year's test, as I said, we found that the video tunnings attribute couldn't be found through the regular filtering system. This year it could. And that is that is due to the fact that we did the testing and a colleague of mine here on campus could actually use this as leverage because he was arguing that people couldn't find this, but he didn't have any data. Now we did have the data to back it up because we did a test with loads of people and none could find the results. And we found out why they couldn't, because they all went to this filtering page and the information wasn't there at that point. And again, it's about including user testing as a part of this system or a part of the plan. I think actually I will go through the rest after. So now, let's see now. Let's go show. Yes. So I will now that you shall be having a break and you shall be doing some user testing yourselves. this kind of test, okay, we have got different types of tests. The one is the planned one where we have a test room and we have everything set up. That is one type of test. It's a bit more resource demanding than what we call now a guerrilla use test. This is, we just run around on campus and we ask people, we have got our test mobile phone with us, and we get people to help us doing this test. So, now we've got, I've got three different questions. One is the one which we already run through, and this test I don't think actually you need to conduct, because we've found that they've already solved that problem. But this one we should run. Scenario one. You've got a graduate degree, bachelor in language sciences, must apply a postgraduate degree at language at NTNU. This is not NTNU in Gjøvik, it's just NTNU generally. So I got the text both in English and in Norwegian. I will actually make a form in Norwegian for you, or in English. I should actually have printed this, I see. I think actually what we'll do, you'll take a break, I'll print out this so that you've got them on hand, and then we can do these tests. Scenario two is the one we don't care about. So this one is, you got a certificate of apprenticeship, that's a fagbrev, but not general study competence. You would like to start a computer engineer bachelor's degree, Data Engineer, at NTNU in Gjøvik. Are you qualified to join this course? Okay, so now in this question, we want the user to find the criteria for applying for this computer engineer. And in essence, it will be possible for this person to attend, but they need to then go a separate way with a so-called tre-semester ordning. They have to have another semester in the start of the course. Right. So, now break. 50 minutes. If you'll be back here 9:45, then I'll have printed out the test forms for you guys, and you'll be able to do the user test with those. Right? 50 minutes. All right. So I'm now taking the two scenarios that we are spending the most time on, and in both English and Norwegian, printed those out. So go like this. So these are the scenario number one and scenario number three. As we saw, the scenario number two I've written, we are not doing this one. This one. So what I want you to do now is actually go out and do a, what we call a guerrilla user test. And I would like to... I would like you to do this in small groups. So let's see now. If it's possible for you to organize in groups of three or four, I think that would be a good size. Three or four. And then you can... I want you to do this. Try to test on roughly up to circa 10 different users. Okay? I hope there are people on campus now. It's not so early anymore. So approach and kindly ask. Tell them that you are conducting a user test for NTNU for this recruitment page, and there might be some problems with the page, and NTNU needs to know a bit about this these errors. Again, making sure that there is this, it's the web page we are testing, not them. And you can give them a say that it takes it doesn't take any long time at all, because you can get the same user to it, as we now got only two scenarios. You can do both tests on each user. Okay, so you set them into this. What can they, these two different scenarios, and so the one scenario is the one where they've got a bachelor degree in language sciences, and wants to apply for a postgraduate degree in language at NTNU, and ask them which languages are available at this level at NTNU. If you speak Norwegian, it's probably best to ask the question in Norwegian, because it's easier for them to understand. And then scenario number three, where you have this fagbrev, this certificate of apprenticeship, for you English speakers, it's important that you use the name fagbrev, because they won't understand what certificate of apprenticeship is. That is, yeah. Oh, the fagbrev, yeah. Okay, it is a in Norway we've got this. What can I say? It's not higher education; it's more base education, but it's. It's more education where you learn a trade. So I myself, I've got a certificate of apprenticeship as a graphic designer or a typographer, graphic. So that means I've got 2 years on 2 years on, in a school, and then for 2 years after that, I was an apprentice. So I was actually working in a company, and after those 2 years, I took a kind of a test, and then I passed, and now I'm a... now I've got the papers that I can prove that I know that trade, and then I've gone for higher education after. But so this is kind of a low-level education in Norway, where you become like an electrician or a graphic designer or a it's lots of this carpenter, glass worker. So it's you know a trade, and then the question is, can you with this trade letter only get into higher education? And generally the answer is no, because you have to have some more math, physics, language training, and so forth, generally. But there is a solution at NTNU where you can take some of these courses as a condensed course in the start of the course, and then you can still get into this. Okay. But people generally don't know about it, and the information is out there on the website somewhere. Question is, do people find it when they are in this context? Right. So spend roughly 30 minutes doing these tests. Try to, well, yeah, again, be polite, put the people into the context. Say that this might not take more than 3 minutes, maybe, 3-4 minutes. Doesn't, shouldn't take more than that. And of, also, if you see that they've totally gone into the wrong tracks, they were on their way it's into some dark corner of NTNU's website, you can just thank them. And you don't tell them that they've done anything wrong. Just thank them and say that, okay, now we do the other task. Or if you're final, if you're finished with both tasks, just say, thank you for your time. Your input was valuable. Yeah, something like that. Right, so that means 30 minutes. And we'll be back here. Yeah. And, of course, you need to make some notes. So make sure that you have something to note on and with. Generally, a bit of paper or... I can, if some of you don't have a notebook with you or lack paper, I can get some paper. I haven't got any... Well, I can probably borrow you some pens as well, if you need that. And again, one is the test lead, and the others are observers. And make sure that you don't go too close to on the test user, because there is everybody has got at least this intimate zone, which is it's uncomfortable being broken too close into. So right, any question before we go on? Yeah. Yeah, you just use one of. I'm sure you've got some of you got smartphones. So one of you just put your web browser on the web phone, on your smartphone into the ntnu.no website, and you use that. I think it was one more thing I wanted to say. Yeah, and after this, we will get together here and we will walk through all the things you found. We'll try to prioritize these and make this into a shape or form where it actually can be used for developing this page further on. Right, thank you. So, back here 10:30.
God morgen. Hører dere? Her tenker jeg. Da bruker jeg å si at når dere skal jobbe med temaene, det jo dere som skal studere. Jeg kan ganske mye om dette her, så er jeg ikke ferdig utlært, men det dere som skal studere dette her og gå i bukken og lære, og kunne ha noen vettige svar på dagen når det kommer til eksamensdagen. Og da tenker jeg som så at hva bedre enn å diskutere disse temaene her, i timeplanlagt undervisning eller som forberedelser av sin seminarer. Men dere må jo vite hva dere skal svare på. Hva slags type spørsmål kan dere få? Og da har jeg laget da noen sånne innlæringsmål, som vi kaller det, som egentlig vi har bare snurret til å bli eksamensoppgaver. Og det min kontrakt med dere. I det temaet her, det er så mange temaer, men i det temaet her, så lover jeg at dere får ikke noen andre spørsmål enn det jeg presenterer her. Så da er det opp til dere å jobbe videre med det. Og når jeg lager sånne spørsmål, så går jeg ut fra undervisningsplanen. Dette her, jeg har lagt ut et studentnotat forresten, men det er ikke alle som har oppdaget det. Det er lang vei inn dit. Dere går på SPL 2012, så er det noe som heter sykepleier, fag og funksjon, eller noe sånt. Og så flytter dere på det, og så kommer dere videre til noe sånn emnerom, hvor jeg har skrivet noe om at et studentnotat knyttet til forelesningen der, ligger her. Men dere trenger ikke notere mye, det ligger der, og det er ikke så veldig mye sånne fasitsvar som dere får her, som dere ikke finner i boka. Men hva er det står egentlig? Altså dette temaet her da, hva sykepleier er? Hva slags sånne overhørende mål i undervisningsplanen er der rettet mot? Jo, dere skal skjønne noe etter i år, studieår 1. Så skal dere skjønne noe om sykepleierfagets historie, tradisjoner og verdigrunnlag. Ja, hva er det? Dere skal vite noen teoretiske perspektiver i sykepleierfaget. Hva er det? Dere skal vite noen har kunnskap om det som kalles menneskers grunnleggende behov. Og jeg vet at mange av dere har gått fra, eller på videregående så har dere kanskje hørt om Maslow. Maslows behovspyramide. Dette kommer liksom her til meg. Det blir ikke noe sykepleiere her. Jeg som heter Virginia Henderson, en sånn sykepleierteoretiker, hun har liksom jobbet videre med Maslow og begynt å tenke at jo, det der sykepleier skal konsentrere seg om. De skal hjelpe folk til å få dekke grunnleggende behov. Samme om det en liten nyfødt baby eller en 90-åring på sykehjemmet, så handler det om det samme. Vi skal hjelpe dem å dekke de grunnleggende behovene som vi har gjennom hele livet. Så da kan dere allerede en god del om det. Men dette mener vi med å finne noen teoretiske perspektiver. I dette tilfellet Henderson, og skal dere kunne veldig mye om grunnleggende behov. Det dere har drivet med i klinikklagene av øvelser så langt på, handler faktisk om å hjelpe folk som er svette eller dårlige til å ivareta grunnleggende behov. For eksempel forflytningsteknikk. Dere skal hjelpe folk med behov til å bevege seg, få snudd seg eller komme opp, være aktivitet. Ja. Og så vil vi ha noen ferdigheter i klagere. Det høres ut som bare sånne praktiske ferdigheter, men i forhold til det tema eller det emnet SV-2012 som heter, så handler det om ferdigheter i å skrive. Altså det vi tenker er at til eksamen så skal det vise noen ferdigheter. Og det handler om å beskrive dette her verdigrunnlaget da. På det teoretiske perspektivet. Vi forventer at dere skal kunne sette ord på det og beskrive det i en eksamenssituasjon. Og så snakker vi om en generell kompetanse. Dere har jo mange flere mål enn dette, ikke sant? Jeg håper ikke at vi dette er alt dere skal finne på et år, men dette er det som jeg trekker ut med i forhold til temaet her. Jo, det vi håper at om ikke etter ett år, så etter 3 år i utdanningen her, så skal det ta i ryggmargen deres at en profesjonell sykepleier gjør ikke noe uten å ta noe tanker i hodet, en plan for den skal gjøre. En profesjonell sykepleier går ikke rundt etter impulsmetoden og sier, oi sånn, du har vondt, ja men da gir vi den og den dosen med kapitin. Det ikke sånn vi jobber når vi profesjonelle. Da skal vi ha en plan, en teoretisk sånn, ja, noen kaller det referanseramme, teoretisk perspektiv, ikke sant? Dette skal dere jobbe med fram til bacheloroppgaven og til den avsluttende finalen på utdanningen deres, og da skal dere vise i hvert fall at dere kan anvende kunnskapen. Men i første året så håper vi å få det liksom såpass klare at det første året faktisk er nyttig å ha noen teoretiske verktøy og rettigheter. Ellers så blir vi bare gode håndverkere, og vi blir ikke profesjonelle. Det er noe av tanken der. Så i første året, om vi bare kan få det til å liksom innse at god kunnskap er viktig for å utøve profesjonell sykepleie. Og så tenker vi også at generell kompetanse handler mye om det vi før snakket om som holdninger. Altså vi tenker vel også at en sånn skriftlig eksamen, en dagseksamen, skal vise at du klarer å respektere litt over, og ikke bare dine, du skal ikke grave deg selv, faktisk, men i hvert fall vise at min personlige holdning, min innstilling til jobben min som sykepleier, det har også betydning for kvaliteten på sykepleier. Og da er det blant annet det her med å ha pasientperspektiv, som jeg sier. Det er ikke du som er hovedperson når du står der syke selv. Samme om du har hatt en elendig morgen eller er midt i en livskrise selv, så er det likevel ikke du som er hovedperson når du står der en pasient sier seg. Er du ikke skikket eller i stand til å være en sykepleier eller gjøre deg, da må du være skikket. Da er du borte. Da går du ikke på jobb. Sant? Så det handler om at når du er på jobb i sykepleierøyene, så er det faktisk pasienten som er hovedperson. Og det kan være en lang prosess å gå. Det vet vi at det har noe med modning å være på. Livserfaring du har. Du blir flinkere og flinkere til å se ut av deg selv jo eldre du blir. Og så har jeg et eksempel på det motsatte også. Gamlinger som er mer og mer egoistiske. Jeg vet ikke. Så det ikke noe sånn hyggende fastregel. Men ha i bakhodet at dette er en modning. handler om at egentlig så det deg selv du griner for. Hvis du har opplevd noe tilsvarende selv, så gjenopplever du det. Og så griner du kanskje mer enn både pasienten og pårørende alle, fordi du blir så fryktelig lei meg, jeg blir så, jo, det så fælt at du har det vondt. Ser du poenget? Og hvis du da griner fordi det handler om å bearbeide noen følelser i deg selv, så det kanskje ikke så god hjelp for dem som trenger hjelp av deg. Men dette er en del av det å bli profesjonell. Så de første rundene dere opplever dødsfall, fære ting ute i praksis, så godta det at dette blir forsterkt for meg, dette fikserte. Men så bearbeider vi det, så går vi videre, og så blir vi profesjonelle etter hvert. Ikke kalle, ikke uforskjønne, men vi blir profesjonelle. At vi klarer faktisk å hjelpe. Det ligger litt i det her læringsutviklet her for første året. At du er bevisst. Vi sier ikke at dere skal være perfekte sykepleiere i holdninger og handlinger. Men dere skal vise at dere er bevisst. At de holdningene jeg drar med meg fra livet mitt før, det påvirker måten jeg er en sykepleier på her en dag. Så nå begynte jeg å forelese igjen. Ja, hopper vi videre. Nå skal dere snart komme til eksamensspørsmålet. Så skal vi få litt forelese. Ja, dette her med å forstå noe om det siste her, det handler om å forstå forsvarlighet. Når jeg utøver sykepleie, noen ganger så må vi gå litt akkord med oss selv. Ikke bare noen ganger, men jeg tror hele helsevesenet i Norge er preget av at folk, fagutdannet folk, profesjoner, føler at de ikke får gjort jobben sin sånn som de egentlig ønsker, eller sånn som de egentlig ønsker, eller vet at de skal gjøre. Og da hender det at avdelinger, eller de som eier disse helseutdannelsene rundt omkring, kommuner og fylkeskommuner, så hender det at de setter en grense for hva er forsvarlig da. Om vi ikke kan nå det store idealet, så må vi finne i hvert fall et nivå for tjenesten vår, hvor det er i hvert fall forsvarlig. Og det handler om pasientsikkerhet, som dere har begynt å snuse så vidt på nå, i forbindelse med denne introduksjonen til simulering, for eksempel. Alt vi jobber for som sykepleiere, det viktigste målet vårt er jo pasientsikkerhet. Men så er det noen justeringer her som må til, fordi at alle kan kanskje ikke få denne ideelle, litt sånn, helt perfekte tjenesten. Dette kommer dere til å komme tilbake til studio 3, for da skal dere begynne å trene dere til å bli ledere av sykepleietjenesten. Leder av sykepleietjenesten, det er du selv om du ikke er avdelingsleder, nemlig. Når du er en sykepleier, vanlig sykepleier på en avdeling, så er du en del av det leder og leder sykepleietjenesten, sette assistenter, omsorgsfagarbeidere, vise dem på en måte, leve dem til å gjøre de tingene som du har lagt en plan for. Så det må vi forberede dere på. Og da må dere tenke litt, hva er forsvarlig? Hva er det ideelle? Her kommer eksamensspørsmål egentlig. Min kontrakt med dere, mine læringsutbytter for akkurat det temaet her. Vi kan tenke oss at dere får et spørsmål. Hva menes med sykepleierens rolle? Jeg skal si litt om det etterpå, men nesten må du begynne å klikke selv. Hva menes med, når vi sier sykepleierens funksjoner? Vi snakker også om at det er noe vi kaller et kontinuum. Vet dere hva det er? Kontinuum. Hvis vi tenker oss at her er en 0-tilstand, og her er en 100%-tilstand. Så kan vi tenke oss at situasjoner er i et sånn kontinuum, i et sånn inngradert. Så hvis vi tenker at en pasient er død her, og helt superfrisk der, så er det litt ulike situasjoner vi kan møte. Og da kan vi møte et menneske som er nesten død. Sånn? Og så kan vi hjelpe den, og så beveger den seg stadig mer og mer oppover mot. Det er det vi kaller kontinuum. Det ser vi i mange andre sammenhenger også. Kontinuum i andre livssituasjoner. Og der er det noen som har prøvd å studere litt dette her, da, og så forklare oss, ja, hva gjør en sykepleier? Hva er den viktigste på den skalaen her hvor du har en veldig kritisk dårlig pasient? Og hva den viktigste funksjonen hvis du har en pasient eller et menneske som egentlig frisk, men de vet at den utsatt for noe risiko? Kanskje røyter, kanskje en overvektig, føler seg frisk, men hva den viktigste rollen sykepleieren har da? Og da skal vi snakke litt om, og så jobber dere videre med det til deg. Vi prater så svært om at sykepleie en profesjon, og det skal jeg love dere at sykepleie ikke en veldig gammel profesjon. Så at medisin, legestudie, det en sånn steingammel profesjon. Det sånn nesten ut fra de gamle grekene, og det si. Det legestudie, det en meget gammel profesjon. Juridikum, just, det kan vi også kalle for en profesjon, når det praktisk utøvende jurister som har forsvarsadvokater eller andre, de har en profesjon. Og så har vi sykepleier da, som også i løpet av de siste årene har overhovedet en profesjon. Og hvorfor det, liksom? Og det noen kriterier for som dere bør fylle ut eller fylle noe om da til eksamen. For det kan dere bli spurt om. Hva liker vi til dette? Så det en diskusjon i pensumet deres. Vi snakker om, dere har sikkert hørt om at i dag så måles alt. Som ligger åpent på nett også. Forskjellige sykehus i Norge har forskjellige statistikker som ligger åpent. Hvor mange sårinfeksjoner det der og der? Hvor mange urinveisinfeksjoner har det den og det, det sykehjemmet? Altså det ligger ute statistikker. Og så det noen som sier, ja, sårinfeksjoner, nei, det jo doktors skyld. Altså det noen slurveri som har skjedd innenfor operasjonsstua, kan noen si. Og så det andre som sier, nei, det håndhygiena til sykepleiere som tar imot nyopererte pasienter nede på kirurgisk avdeling, dumme skyld. Urinveisinfeksjoner.
Hallo, hallo. Hey. Do all the groups have at least...
pasienter. Hvis det veldig mange avmagre, underernærte, feilernærte pasienter på et sykehjem, og særlig der de ligger over lang tid, ikke sant? Så da har en mye bedre mulighet på målet. Det å se ut som det en sykepleier, altså det en indikator på at det dårlig sykepleier. Så noen områder bør bli skammet oss litt, over. Men dere skal begynne å sette dere inn i hvorfor det så vanskelig å forske på en del av de tingene vi som sykepleier driver med. Og så det siste nå, holdt jeg på å si, de store vinden nå for tiden, det jo dette med tverrprofesjonalitet, tverrfaglighet. Før så kunne vi liksom bare utdanne sykepleier. Du sykepleier, du skal bli sykepleier, du skal drive bare med sykepleier. Men vi må innse at folk spesialister på forskjellige ting. Og da det ergoterapeuter du samarbeider med, det leger, det fysioterapeuter, det logopeder, masse fagrupper. I enkelte områder dere kommer borte, så vil dere også ha mye samarbeid med radiografer, radiologer. Dere vil ha kontakt eller samarbeid med politiet. Dere vil kunne ha samarbeid med lærere. Alt avhengig av hvor dere kommer i helsetjenesten. Sykepleiere finner dere overalt. Og da må dere samarbeide med de folk som viktige for akkurat den brukeren eller pasienten som dere har ansvaret for. Henger dere med? Dere klarer det. Dette sånn at dere kan svare raskt på det, fordi jeg har fått et kort spørsmål. Hva menes med? Så det noe, noe som heter at du skal beskrive sentrale punkter til sykepleierfagets tradisjoner. Ja, da forventer vi jo da. Dette her kan være to eksamensspørsmål også. Altså, hva slags tradisjoner bygger du på? Og kortversjonen der humanistiske tradisjoner. At vi forplikter oss på en måte til det som vi kaller humanisme, altså denne kalde menneskerettighetene. At det avledet av det. Og så det avledet av den medisinske kriteriene for ja, det kommer til der, har du hatt etikken om det? Etikk? Nei, da får du høre mer om det. Så egentlig så stammer sykepleiernes yrkesetiske retningslinjer fra en blanding av legenes legenes, hva de kaller det, en sånn ed, legeeden og det som var menneskerettighetene, den som avleder av det. Og det likt over hele verden. Selv om vi vet at enkelte deler av verden så jo både leger og sykepleiere med på å konkurrere folk. Det jo stikk til stikk med yrkesetiske retningslinjer og legeredene, men sånn nå verden en gang. Og det hva som årsaken til at de faktisk bryr med på sånne ting, det jo, kan vi bare tenke oss. Vi får håpe det tvang i hvert fall, hvis det snakk om mye ting av dem. Egentlig så har vi samme yrkesetiske og samme verdier i hele verden. Kunnskapsgrunnlaget, det kommer dere til å ha, tror jeg, en som heter Elfrid Larsen-Noen. Men jeg kommer litt inn på det, ja, fordi at vi sier at en sykepleier, hva sykepleier det handler jo ikke om kunnskap. Og så har vi noe som litt sånn spesielt for folk som, altså profesjoner hvor vi har med folk å gjøre. Det blir veldig ofte sånn mye sånn myke data som det vanskelig å forske på, ikke sant? Jeg vet ikke om dere har hørt begrepet taus kunnskap. Litt sånn å bruke skjønn. Og det bør jo helst ikke da, i for stor grad man en god fagperson eller en profesjonal. Men det problematisert litt dersom deres. Jeg kommer ikke til å stille spørsmål om det her, fordi så vet dere, det liksom bare krysse over hvis dere snøver for å se studentforfakene. Fordi det i kapittel 8, tror jeg det som ikke pensum for det. Men vi må komme litt inn på kunnskapsstøttene her under dette temaet. Så setter krysse over det, men det skader ikke å finne noe andre. Og kunnskapsformer, det får vi egne spørsmål om av HL-tiden. Ja. Spørsmål. Dere klarer det her? Det meste kan dere jobbe med nå før seminariet og under seminariet. Jeg tror det var D-klasser som skulle ha mandag 16. Og A-klasser fredag 20.
Ok, I might use this microphone instead. It's actually working.
Har noen av spørsmålene dere synes var litt rare eller som dere var usikre på? Går det litt fort på dette nå? Det litt for sånn? Jeg skrabler ofte litt for det der. Men det godt, nei. Vi skal rekke om det. Men jeg tenkte jeg skulle gi dere litt på overskriftsnivå nå da. Ikke fullstendige svar, men sånn litt sette dere litt på skolen av hva vi spør av. Sant? Jeg hadde et par spørsmål som går på rolle og funksjon. Ja, hva vi ute etter da når vi snakker om det? Punkt 1. En viktig del av en øyne så startade vi med det här humanistiska ämnet, nu som tåkigt för inte som slags studenter om liksom filosofi, kyrka, filosofi och det här och människosyn och värderingar. Och vi startade väldigt liksom, nästan som Excel-paket. Och då var det någon student, minns jag, som kom ut från Hedmarken och körde samma bil i fyra stycken av dem, tur efter. Och de hade kommit ut från bilolyckor som efter ett halvt år i första studieåret. De hade kommit ut från bilolyckor och så kom de tillbaka hit och sen var helt förskräckta. Och vi kom dit och det var liksom en som satt under bilen där han blödde och så stod vi där med människosynet vårt då. Så de hade liksom inte lärt något ordentligt ändå. Så till det med det juridiska ansvaret här så gjorde vi till det första studenter. Blanta, vi förväntar oss att de ska gå in och ta det ansvaret. Men hade vi fått stempel som färdigdomar och sjukvård så har vi lyckats med läger och fått ett speciellt ansvar. Juridiskt sett. Det är mest så här etiska föreningar som är viktiga. Och där blir det kan bli krav på autorisationerna hvis du bryter. För exempel en viktig etisk princip som jag visste över i stan är att visa respekt för patienten. Uavhängig av, och så kommer liksom menneskerettsgreinen. Det är oavhängig av kön, ras, tillhörighet, socialt tillhörighet, allt det här. Vi ska inte visa patienter eller människor att ha ansvar för att hjälpa respekt, så är det faktiskt som att de kan missa organisationen och respekt. Istället kan dokumenteras eller inte. Så jag inte vill komma med någon, ja, det är lite fel, ja, fast det uppförare som folk. Ja. Det är ansvar. Ansvar är inte sån, det är något generellt ansvar du har som sjukepleier. Men det är också en del ansvar som är knyttet till speciella arbetsstäder. Och där tänker jag, vi kan, det enklaste är kanske att tänka sig sådana specialavdelningar. Nästan alla avdelningar på sjukhus är ju specialiserade idag. Men det sker en stor grad av jobbglidning. Har du hört om vad det är? Alltså, det har bestandet skjedd, eller altså opp gjennom året så har det skjedd en jobbglidning mellom leger og sykepleiere. I alle år har det foregått. For eksempel så var det bare leger som kunne sette injeksjoner, vanlige sprøyter, og det var bare leger som kunne legge venetroner. Det er jo opp til ganske mye tid. Bare gynekologer kunne ta ultralyd av gravide damer, ikke sant? Men så skjer det altså en jobbglidning. Og det er to typer jobbglidning. Det ene er å sette injeksjoner, for eksempel sette sprøyter. Det har tidlig, eller var i starten en delegert oppgave. Altså at legen var den som egentlig hadde ansvaret. Men så kunne vi si at sykepleiere som har fått spesiell opplæring, de kan gjøre det.
All right, we'll try to see if we can find something that we actually can fix through this. Let's see. Okay. Scroll. So, I'll try now to, okay, I see that most have tested this first question, so you tested number one before you tested number three, so therefore, or it might just be that you are still writing, yeah. Was it easier for these groups generally, or the users, to find the answer to one of these rather than the other? I can see that some have written that finding the UVA was quite easy for quite a few. Is that true? Yes? So that was easier. They probably didn't know this term, UVA. Some might not. But information was then clearly available on the page about the attentioner, as I get it. Yeah? Okay? That is good. Right? Let's have a look at the other one. So, okay, it's lots of information here. Do one of the groups have one thing they particularly would like? There might have been some problems finding this information. Is it some point you would like to note that was particularly difficult for some of the users? Yeah. 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 So in okay, this is interesting. So even though we found that videreutdanning is now a part of the general structure in the let's go into Antenne Utdanning. So even though the videreutdanning is now a part of it's now a part of the page. Let's now go into I'll just make this a bit more narrow. So it might pop into mobile mode. There is still no checkbox or filtering options for videreutdanning. So that might be that if you are trying to find that now in Norwegian page here, you might not find it, and the term isn't used there. So maybe it should, etter videregående, etter fullført bachelor. Okay? Maybe there should be another option. Okay, this is now I'm trying to find a solution for that problem. It might be that it really should be a an option there that should say videreutdanning. That might solve. Because as I saw for some of the findings here, it says that people are, or the users are ending up with master programs. And master programs are generally quite a bit more, you might be able to combine it with work. But videreutdanning is not a master's level, and it's... what can I say? It's another kind of program, really. So, actually, we might... Okay, so last time I tried to find which users had this problem. So now I'm looking for users who are finding master programs instead of the continuing education options. Because now we are going into the analysis and prioritizing. We are trying to pinpoint problems and seeing how widespread it is. Filter option, relevant search for languages. Started by going to Finn Studio page and filtering the options by master. So this person, location, nothing showed. She also had text in the search field at the same time, okay. So this was different filtering options in combination, excluding all findings. So this is really many. Okay, so generally when we do this, we try to isolate each problem. Here there are several problems. One is the fact that so this is more of a report of all instead of just pinpointing the problem. So problem here was that it was quite easy for this user to make choices that excluded all findings without getting any notification or help sorting that out. But this, didn't she attempt to scroll through every course available? She led to no result, and she got fed up after a while. In the end, she found nothing. No. This user wouldn't have ended up applying for a course at NTNU. Only lecture learning. So this is okay. So group 3, test person 5. So now I write down the problem. Why is it doing things like this? Okay, that was not the field I was trying to go for. But there is some errors happening here. Problem is finding master courses instead of continuing education. Courses. Okay, so I know that group 3, TP1, had this problem, and then it's now just a matter of going through all these here. So one thing is that we try to find out the severity of the problems, but also how many of the test users are experiencing this. Because if you find that a grave problem also is hit by several users, then this really needs to be fixed. We can have some exception or some cases where something isn't really important, but nearly everybody experiences it. Then it should be fixed. And then we have cases that are really severe. and it might only be one or two users, or it might be a lot. So we are using two different scales here to analyze, find out how important this is. Let's see now. I need to do something with my browser window here because it's totally not working. There we go. Finstudier master, so there was TP5, not TP3, but okay. To search for master, then Sprock, was it master that we're looking for? Administration of Fagbrev called you nearby. Make the. I pasted the wrong text into this one. This is not the right one. We are in the one here. We are finding the filtering options to find the French, Nordic, and German. They are looking for. They are looking for master. So this is. They are looking for master in this one. So that means that that is not a problem. We are not. I misremembered. Sorry. This is not an error at all. Okay, so let's try to at least find one more problem. Actually, one of the group members, she didn't find use the filter option, but just called until she found. They found it. Yeah. Use the main menu. Go to studies. What is all program of studies? He used the search function there. So instead of using filtering, he just used the search box. Is this a, are you putting your hand up in there? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because you got the, both the 55-year masters and the three-year one. Yeah, true. Use the filters too. Got stuck at first question because it was taught in English or taught in Norwegian, and she couldn't find a page with them both together. Who's group five here? So what happened there? Yeah? Yeah? And then we got this one. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes. All right. Yeah. So taught in instead of because this was not we were not looking for languages taught in these different languages. But it was specialization in. So they ended up looking for languages taught in instead of the actual language. All right, yeah, interesting. So that was maybe it might be information that was ambiguous, that it was unclear. It might be a problem with how we phrased the question. It might be a problem of understanding in this test subject, yeah? Now that's the. Oh yeah, so you tested on the English page, yeah. Yes, that is a problem, yeah. But this is actually a valid. That's a valid finding. We might be aware of that, and so you could consider. Is it important to have information about courses taught in Norwegian only, say for example, on the English page? You could argue that it should really be there as well. For say example, if you have somebody that is of has got English or another language as their main language, might probably prefer to use the English page, even though they are skilled or proficient enough in Norwegian to be able to attend a Norwegian course, they might not find information. So that is a valid finding. If we've tested that and we have had test users that would on the main page click the English because they found that more easy to work with. Well, should we exclude findings there? Let's see now. All right, now it does seem as most courses are still available here. So, but it might be somewhere in the. Yeah. Oh, that is actually true, yeah. Can I go into acute nursing here? Let's go in. Can I go into Norwegian? Africa studio. Oh, yeah, there was some other, yeah, because it's probably sorted differently. So information here, it's lots of information in Norwegian. And if we now go into English, okay, can I find the same course, African studies there. There is less information here. So there is a difference in information density or amount of information in different courses. And this is actually this is something we need to really be careful because generally when we try to target a audience or a information to say particularly in Norwegian only taught courses, the program leaders might not prioritize spending a lot of time translating everything, and that might be, we can say that, okay, this is a problem that is totally valid. So that might be a finding of a test like this. Okay, I won't use any more time on this. So generally, we'll list different problems here. We'll list how many of our test users experience this problem, and we can also have a column here where we can suggest ways of fixing this. And then for analysis, we will use a criterion here. We have got scale from A to D or E, where we say how severe is this. And I'll go through these now. And that is, after we've done that, we are done for today. Let's see here now. There we go. Yeah, you can use either the grade of severity. So, is this page number two of this? Yes. So, 1 or A is critical. And these are errors which is making it impossible for the user to actually get to the end goal. Critical errors. And B are high errors or higher criteria severity, which is means that the error can be resolved, but it might be difficult to do so. So you might have to, in some way, go out of your way. You might end up going back to Google to search for the solution and thereby finding it. So it's possible to find the information or solve the task, but it might not be possible through the regular interface. Then we get C, medium, non-critical, limited problem. It's possible to solve the solution, but not easy. And then smaller deviations and inconsistencies. It might be a small, use of language which is unclear. You can kind of infer what it means, but it might not be easy. So we are using these scales to grade the